First Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Now, over to 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. Speaking of King Uzziah, verse 4. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. And he dwelt in a several house alone, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Chapter 27, verse 1. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. And may God bless the reading of his word with what we have heard from our brethren already this afternoon and at this conference. It was 1984. Billy Graham was speaking to a convention of over 2,000 spiritual leaders here in America. He made this statement. He said what he feared most was having a moral fall in his older years. He said, "I want my family to be able to put on my tombstone, I have walked in my integrity." In other words, he finished well. That's what I'd like to speak on with the help of the Spirit of God this afternoon. Finishing well in the things of God. Look at the prayer of Jabez. I love that prayer. It's almost become my motto over the years. A man whose name meant painful. I can't imagine what it must have felt like to answer to that name all the time. "What's your name?" Painful. Yeah. And yet he did not let a painful beginning color the rest of his life. What did he do? He called on the God of Israel and said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." He asked for a miraculous blessing from God. Have you ever done that? "Enlarge my coast." He wanted a greater sphere of influence. "That thy hand might be with me." That's the hand that put the stars in space. That word hand means the very power of Almighty God. That thy hand might be with me. And that thou wouldst keep me from evil. That it might not grieve me. Listen. A moral fall at any time in your life, but especially in older years, it has to bring grief, unimaginable grief, to the person that once started out so well in the things of God, and then they had a fall. Jabez prayed that he would be kept from that, and God granted him what he requested. So how can you and I finish well? There are so many characters in the Bible, and we see it reflected in our life as well. People that started out well in the things of God, and a few years down the road, they are gone. And people wonder what happened. How do you finish well? I'm going to suggest this. It is having a life of purpose, devotion, and dedication on a constant, consistent basis to the things of God. It is working on it till our last breath. It's knowing and carrying out God's plan for every stage of your life. That's how it's done. I think of a man named Solomon. When he was a young man, he loved the Lord, started out well, and what happened? He married wrong, and he ended up ruining his life for God. I think of Gideon. What a powerful man, leading that little army of 300 men against that massive enemy force. How'd he end up? He made a golden idol and worshipped that. I think of King Saul. Another man who started out well and ended up an enemy of God. Those are tragic words. We read about King Uzziah. There were three parts to his life. The first part was a life of submission to God. He had a good family heritage. And it's a wonderful thing when parents leave a godly heritage to their children. Someone has well said, forget about leaving them money, but leave them a godly heritage. He was influenced by godly men. And I look back in my life to men that I wish were still here. I think of my own father. I think of Frank Piercy. Men that I listened to on a constant basis, preaching and ministering in my childhood. Think of David Adams. The Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. And brother, sister, mark that down in your mind. Because as long as you seek the face of God Almighty, you will prosper spiritually. Second part of his life. He was strong The Lord had blessed him. He had all the power that he could want. Strong and lifted up in pride. He looked at all that he had done. Looked back on his life. And he took the things that God had blessed him with, made them his own as if it had been done by his own power. He came into the temple of God, did something that was blasphemous. He offered incense in God's temple that only the priests were qualified to do. It was an awful thing he did. And one of the priests withstood him to the face. And as he was talking to him, he actually watched the leprosy rise up in his forehead. And he was thrust out. He was rebuked by a number of the priests. There were godly men who took him aside. They rebuked him for what he had done. And instead of bowing in repentance, he raged against them. The last part of his life, it was a shattered life. His personal life was shattered. He had to be separated and live alone or with other lepers. He had to live apart from his wife. He had to live apart from his children. He had to live apart from his grandchildren. He had to live apart from his friends. And pride. Pride will keep a person from repenting. Because God blesses when there is heart repentance. And he never repented. His spiritual life was shattered. He was put out of the house of God. We could look on that as excommunication from the assembly. Still no repentance. His official life as king was shattered and ruined. His son had to take over and run the kingdom. He had no more influence. That's tragic. A man that once had great influence for good and for God. He had no more influence. And I'm going to say this. I've written it down so I don't get it wrong. Please listen. A fall. A fall will take from people's minds the good we did and our influence will be gone. A fall will take from people's minds the good that we once did and our influence will be gone. I think of another king, King Asa. In his early life, he was a good king. The Bible says he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. In the beginning of his reign, there was a great test. There was an enemy king came with over 1 million soldiers. King Asa only had an army of half that size. What did he do? 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 11 is certainly instructive. It says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord." Isn't that nice? Help us, O Lord, for we rest on thee. That's what the Lord loves to hear. Help us, O Lord, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. That is a beautiful, powerful prayer. Help us, O Lord. We're weak. We can't beat them on our own. Help us, O Lord. We rest on thee. It was a defining moment in his kingdom. They won a great victory. But you know, the Lord continued to bless him. In the latter years, a small army came out against him. What did he do? Hired mercenaries. You know, the Lord sent a prophet to say to him, Asa, foolishly hast thou done. From now on, you are going to have nothing but wars. Again, instead of repenting at the feet of God's prophet, he was lifted up in pride and rage, put the prophet in the prison. Never repented. And he died. Seems when kings put one of God's prophets in prison, they are not long for this world. He died. There's a contrast. I think of the contrast with the Apostle Paul. You know, there are reasons for failure in older age. Sexual misconduct is one of the greatest. Greed, marital breakdown, burnout emotionally, addictive behavior, misuse of our authority, and pride. Because wherever there's pride, contention comes in. Paul's greatest fear, too, was that he would end up making shipwreck of his life. He had had that marvelous vision. He didn't know if he had been stoned to death or whether he had just been unconscious and had gone into the presence of God in a vision. But he said, whatever it was, I saw the third heaven, the dwelling place of God. He said, I saw things. Can you imagine this? I saw things. I don't even have language to write them down for you. Such was the glory, the indescribable glory. And his greatest fear was after he'd preached to others that he'd end up a castaway. God did something to secure that that would not happen. You know, the Apostle Paul started well. He continued well. He ended well. What an example. God gave him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Really, it was a defining moment in the life of the Apostle Paul. Three times he begged God to remove it. Have you ever begged God to remove something from your life? And God's answer to him was this: my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That has a very personal application to me. Because when I was out west one time, I was working with Spanish people from Mexico. I got the H1N1 flu. Came back, I was not in very good shape. I had to go down to Labrador. a week later. And if you think I'm hoarse right now in Labrador, I actually had to preach like this. Just whisper. When I got to Deer Lake, Newfoundland, I said to phone Nancy, I said, I have to come back. You know what she said? She said, the people will be very disappointed. And then she said, remember your ministry. My strength is made perfect in weakness. It wasn't really the answer I was hoping for at that moment. We need to learn this, brethren and sisters, young and old. We need to learn that if we are going to do anything for God, it is going to be done in our weakness. So someone might ask the question, what then is weakness? I would suggest that weakness is when we from the heart, we will say to Almighty God, oh God, you are everything, and I am nothing. That's weakness. You see, it's not laziness. God is not glorified in laziness. In fact, laziness is a sin. And it is not slothfulness. Slothfulness is non-directional living. That's a sin. It's living with no sense of purpose and direction. So we need to learn the truth of a verse that I am going to commend to everyone here. Let us look at 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Second Chronicles 16 and 9 says this. For the eyes of the Lord, I hope someone will memorize this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. To show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect. That's straight up and down. No unconfessed sin in your life. Perfect toward him. What does that mean? I'll tell you what I feel it means. It means that when I turn my attention to God in the morning, I am turning my attention to a God who is looking for a place in this world. Indeed, his eyes are moving to and fro throughout the whole earth. He is looking for a place where he can show himself strong, where he can show his power. That is a powerful verse. If you take that to heart, it will change your prayer life. Because we come to a God, and in the morning we can direct, respectfully direct the attention of God Almighty to things that are a concern to us. His eyes are moving to and fro throughout the whole world. And he's looking for a place to show himself strong. Remember that day? Elijah, in front of all the assembled hosts of Israel, the vicious, godless prophets of Baal, out for his blood. He called down fire. He said, oh Lord, hear me, that they might know that you are God and that I am your prophet. You can almost picture him taking a step back because a bolt of fire came down from heaven and burned up the sacrifice on the altar. I love that picture that I have in my mind of that. What happened? God, through that day, was searching all over the world for a place to show himself strong. He found it in answer to the prayer of his servant. O Lord, hear me, that they might know that you're God, and I am your prophet, your servant. Now, I'm going to mention, sometimes people think these things are only for Old Testament days. We could go all the way through Scripture and bring example after example. One of them is Peter being rescued from prison. Wonderful thing happened. But sometimes people wonder, well, that was in Bible days. Does it still happen today? A number of years ago, there was an obituary in Missions Magazine. And it was the obituary of a woman, a missionary in the Philippines. Her husband was already passed away. It was her son that was writing the obituary. And you know, when he was a little boy, and all that the article mentioned was there was something about a submarine in it. That's all they said in Missions. But the whole story of it was this. When the Japanese came into the Philippines, and they were interning women, children, in camps far from the fathers, the husbands. And this family, they were desperately worried about what was going to happen to them. And one morning, their little boy, I believe he was 7, he came into their house. He had been outside. He said, I have just asked God to send a U.S. submarine to pick us up. I know how I'd have felt if one of my kids had prayed for something like that. I'd have encouraged them in it, but I don't know if I would have really rested on that. But there's something we need to remember. When little children pray to the God of heaven, and they ask for a very special need, God does not turn little children down. Over in Australia, General MacArthur, he was planning his return and the invasion of the Philippines. He said to his men, he said, what we need somebody in those islands that knows the land like the back of their hand. One of his lieutenants said, I know just the man. He and his family are missionaries there. And General MacArthur gave orders to send a U.S. submarine to pick them up. They lived on the shore, and one morning, that young man, little boy, he went out every morning to look for the submarine. And one morning, there it was. MacArthur had sent a U.S. submarine to pick them up. Listen. You could go on and on. The eyes of the Lord. They are moving to and fro every single minute of every single day. Searching. Searching. Searching for a place where he can display his unimaginable power. And when he does, it has to be very evident who gets the glory, because he won't share it with another. May God bless these few thoughts. May God help us to make that choice of finishing well, because it is a choice. May God bless his word.